1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want you to find that if you please stand with me. We'll read verses 31 through 34. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join with me on the even. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 through 34. I'll start on verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, it's good to meet with you in the service tonight. Thank you so much for all that you've done already through the services. Lord, those who have been saved, lives changed. I pray, Lord, that you please meet with us in a great, mighty way tonight. Speak to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that we would listen to what you have for us tonight. And we thank you so much for doing that. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Down and saw the sin of man, and knew he'd have to make salvation's plan. To save the world, a sacrifice would have to be made. So I, to sin no more, would be a slave. Save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me.
Explain the love that fills my heart. To know the Lord came down and took my part. He took my place on Calvary's rugged cross, so I would not suffer. And still save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me. Couldn't save himself and still save me. My salvation came to earth to die upon a tree. He bore my sin and shame, rose again to set me free. He couldn't save himself and still save me.
True. Thank you so much, Dan and Kelly. Very good. I want to speak tonight on the wisdom of self-judgment. We're going to look at this passage, but I want you to see verse 31. That's really the crux of what's on my heart to say tonight. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I want to talk tonight on the wisdom of self-judgment. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the good spirit in the service, the faithfulness of the people. I pray that you will help us tonight to understand the truth that will help prepare us for the future. God, please minister to our hearts from your book. Guide my thoughts and my mind. Give me clarity of thought and speech and voice. And Lord, may you control us. I yield myself to you. Fill us with your power and spirit. May we hear from you tonight. That's our need. Not me. These folks don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from you. So God bless us that way in Jesus' name. and amen. Bible-believing Baptist preachers are sometimes accused of being judgmental. By that, one is saying that they are overboard on declaring things, actions, or behavior patterns in people's lives as right or wrong. And I would imagine that there's been some that fall into that category and can't find anything positive to say or preach. However, some of the accusers have retreated to the other end of the spectrum and have adopted a live and let live type of Christianity. Now, the truth always lies somewhere in the middle. And the only way to rightly discern where that banner of truth is to turn to the source of truth, the Word of God, and find it out there. Now, the truth is, the Bible has much to say about judgment. Much to say about judgment. When you research the truth in the Scriptures about judgment, you quickly understand that judgment plays a heavy role in every person's life. Every person. There are some who believe there is no such thing as judgment. There's no higher authority that will ever sit in judgment of mankind. And really, I will not even address that fallacy tonight, except to say that to believe that, you might as well not believe in night and day. You might as well not believe in the sun and the moon. And what that person really denies is that there's any difference between right and wrong. Foolish is that kind of belief. And the truth is, folks, it will be dispelled one half second after death. Less than that, actually. Less than that. But my subject, though, is for those of us who do believe in some form of judgment. And I want to talk to us about it from this passage right here. Now, first off, I think it's important we establish who Paul is speaking to primarily in this passage of Scripture. If you look back at verse 17 in chapter 11, you look what it says here. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. So he's talking to the ye come together. He's talking to the church at Corinth, primarily the saved people who gathered and assembled there in Corinth at the local New Testament church. Now, in a nutshell, let me give you the problem as Paul defines it in verses 17 through 22. And he's writing to the church. Now, here's what it basically is. The church rightfully practiced some consistent observance of the Lord's Supper. We'll do that 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing. If Jesus hasn't returned before then, and we're still here, we'll observe the Lord's table on Sunday night, April the 1st. They did that regularly. But something that Jesus had left them for their benefit, something that was supposed to make them better, had actually made them worse. It actually had made them worse. The Lord's Supper had become a buffet, if you will, almost like an orgy of a potluck-style type of dinner. But only if you brought food could you participate. And so some people who were poor and didn't have a lot of provisions, they were sitting in hunger while other people were gorging themselves. And what was supposed to be a holy ordinance had become an unholy abuse. All right? That's the problem that Paul is addressing when he talks about talks to these people in chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. Now, when you get to verse number 23, Paul outlines the true meaning of the Lord's Supper, what it really is all about. And really, basically, it had a past, present, and future application. I won't go into all this in 2 weeks, so I thought, well, I'm going to mention it tonight. A past, present, and future application. The Lord's Supper had a past application, remembering the price that Jesus paid for our salvation, His body, His blood that was shed and was given so that we might be saved. That was in the past. And the future, in verse number 26, you find the three little words, till He come. Observing the Lord's Supper, you did that with an eye toward the future. Jesus is coming, and the Lord's Supper should remind us of the truth that He is coming, and the rapture of the church will take place. And then it had a present application. The present application was this. If we use it right, if the Christian uses it right, we ought to allow the ordinance to help draw us closer to and keep us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ now. So it is a past, present, and future application. Looking past, looking in the past back to when Jesus died on the cross. Looking to the future when Jesus will come. And then right now, how's my walk with God? How am I doing? Am I walking worthy of the price that Jesus paid for my salvation? Am I ready to meet Him and stand before the judgment seat? And what can I do about that now? You know what it was? It was a time of examination. And in essence, isn't that judgment? Isn't that judgment? When a teacher gives an exam or a test, the teacher is giving passing judgment on whether the students have studied or not and learned the material. And all the questions are answered or not answered. And the teacher gets the paper back, and then it's passing judgment on what the student has learned or not learned. And so in essence, the Lord's Supper exhorts us to consider judgment. For people to say that, you know, that judgment plays a small part in a Christian's life, that's foolish. Judgment plays a big part in our life. And so now I want to break these down. As far as the past application, how does it pertain to judgment? Well, we are to remember the price Jesus paid for our salvation. That salvation releases us from the judgment of our sinful standing before God. Jesus died on that cross. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment. In chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned or judged. Every unsaved person, I know you know this, every unsaved person is under the condemnation, the judgment, the damnation of sin. The verdict is in, already fixed and decided, guilty, and the sentence is eternal death in hell. And when we get saved, we are freed from that guilty verdict. We're found not guilty in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and are no longer under that type of judgment. That's a blessing. And that, no doubt that's a blessing. And friend, there's a big difference between being forgiven and being found not guilty. Being forgiven means that you were guilty and somebody had mercy on you and forgave you. Being found not guilty is not guilty. We were never guilty to begin with. Now, that's our standing in Jesus Christ tonight. We're not standing just as forgiven sinners. We are standing not guilty in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Hey, that's huge. That is immense. The judgment of our sinful standing before God, now watch this, is behind us. It's over. It's done. It's behind us. And yes, Baptists believe in eternal security. And anybody else who believes the Bible believes in eternal security as well. Because it's not a Baptist doctrine, it's a Bible doctrine. So I stand tonight released. I stand free. And if you're saved, you stand released. You stand freed. And we will never come under the judgment for our sin because we have been released from that position and made righteous in the life and the shed blood and so forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a past application. We look back to the judgment that was of our sin that was in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's behind us. That's done. Now, the future application of the Lord's Supper as it pertains to judgment is found in those three words in the end of verse number 26, till he come. Now stay with me. Every child of God knows that after Jesus comes for his own, those people, all the saved that are raptured out, every child of God knows, or you should know this if you don't, every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to happen. That's not an option. Okay? Paul made that very clear. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of the saved. Wait a minute. Not for sin, but for service. How did I carry out my obligation to serve the Lord after I got saved? And believe me, friend, every one of us is under an obligation to serve the Lord. Every person. Did I walk worthy of God? Did I practice a life of commitment to Christ? Did I allow, as was preached here Wednesday night, did I allow the Spirit of God to develop the person of Christ in me? Did I allow that? Did I allow the Holy Ghost to do His work? Did I get out of His way? and let Him develop the life of Christ in me. You do understand, salvation is more than just fire insurance. Now, I'm glad I don't have to die and go to be burned in hell forever and ever and ever. But friend, our salvation is far more than that. Far more than fire insurance. God didn't save us so that we could continue to live like we lived before we got saved. No. We'll all stand and give an account for our lives after we got saved. Our service for Christ. How did we carry out our life for Jesus Christ? And you know what the end result will be? It will be either wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. The truth of the matter is, it'll probably be a combination. At least I hope. When the fire of judgment is touched, that to what we've accumulated, what is left after the fire of judgment is touched to the wood, hay, stubble, the gold, silver, and precious stone, what's left, now wait a minute, is our gift of appreciation for what Christ did for us. Now that's heavy. Are you with me? Okay. You think with me? Okay. That's heavy. What's left there is our gift of appreciation. This is what we have to show for our life for Christ. You say, I'm not standing in judgment for my sin. That took place on Calvary. When Jesus died, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and that judgment was taken care of back when Jesus died on the cross. That's in the past. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about the life that we live right now. We're going to stand before Christ, and we're going to give an account. Our service for Christ will be purged by fire. We will see gain, or we'll suffer loss of reward. Every child of God will either see gain. How do you see gain? Well, what does fire do to gold, silver, and precious stones? Purifies it. So that's a gain of reward. Loss of reward. What does fire do to wood, hay, and stubble? Ashes. All right? That is ahead of us. So judgment is an integral part of a saved person's life. Behind us, our sins have been judged in Jesus. Ahead of us, our service will be judged by Jesus. That brings us to the present. Brother Geddes talked about justification, glorification, sanctification on Wednesday night. And if you weren't here, missed it, you'd do yourself a favor to get the CD of the message on Wednesday night. It was a fantastic Bible study on the subject of sanctification out of the book of Galatians. I would recommend it to listen to it. Now, that brings, all right, once again, behind us, our sins have been judged in Jesus. Ahead of us, my service is going to be judged by Jesus. That brings us to the present, right now, and to the focal point of the message in verse 31, where Paul said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. There is a way to help ourselves prepare us for the judgment seat of Christ. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's now. That's in the present. A child of God can allow himself or herself to be corrected right now. It is a form of judgment that takes place right now, while something can be done about it. Let's just think about it. Let's take the simple, basic matter of church attendance for a child of God. Those of us that are saved, someday I'll stand before Christ, and He will judge my faithfulness to the church I belong to. That's part of it. Now, I will either gain reward or suffer loss of reward concerning that part of my Christian service. But what can I do about it then? Nothing. It's done. It's over. I can't do anything about it then. Except for say, man, praise God, or oh my. One of the two. What can I do? If there's not another opportunity to correct an attitude of disregard for the church and its program. But there is time now to correct an attitude of disregard. Now I can allow the Holy Spirit of God to correct me if I have been lax. And if I would allow Him to judge me and agree with His judgment and put His finger on this area of my Christian walk. And it's not just turning. You could plug in any part of the Christian walk of life that you want to plug in there. Plug in any part of it. Your relationship to your spouse. Your relationship to your Bible. Your relationship to the lost. I mean, plug any part of it in there. And we're going to stand before Christ and that's ahead of us. We're going to be judged for it. But I can't do anything about it then. But right now, the ministry, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to convict and to press on my heart the areas of my life that need attention now. And if I would allow myself to be judged now, I have time to do something about it and get it fixed before I stand before Christ. You say, Pastor, what you're preaching is that every person can decide for themselves what is right and wrong and make corrections based on that kind of discernment. No, I'm not saying that at all. And my proof is right here. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church members about the proper observance of the Lord's Supper. But folks, these are not Paul's words. These are God's words. And you've got to understand, if you could take if you could take 1 Corinthians and you could cut it out of your Bible tonight and put it in a little binder all by itself, just the book of 1 Corinthians. That's what the church got, a little letter from the Apostle Paul. But on that letter were the words that God had inspired and given through His servant. And as they read those words, as they read the words of that epistle, that letter, those words should have pricked their conscience, pricked their heart, because the Spirit of God works through the Word of God on the child of God to conform us to the person of Jesus Christ. And if they would allow the Holy Spirit of God to work on their hearts, then you know what they could say? Hey, you know what? We're going to change our attitude about the Lord's Supper. You know, and some people, I think, take this way too far and take this to mean to teach that you can't have as much as a potluck at church. I don't think he's talking about eating a potluck dinner. He's talking about the Lord's Supper here. Man, Baptists would be sad people if we couldn't have a potluck every now and again. Help us. Mercy. You're not talking about that. But as they read this, they didn't judge for themselves whether their observance of the Lord's Supper was good or bad. The Spirit of God spoke to their heart through the words of this book. And the Spirit of God said, you know what? You've got to get shaped up in this area. And hopefully those New Testament Christians at the church at Corinth did just that. And that's what I'm saying to you and me tonight. We have a Bible in our hands. And we have the Spirit of God in our bodies. Right here. And as we prayerfully give ourselves to the Bible and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, then and only then can we clearly see the changes, the adjustments, the corrections we need to make before we get to the judgment seat of Christ. It's the wisdom of self-judgment. It's judgment in the present tense. It's judgment now while I can do something about it. You know, to me, this is a twofold revelation of the character of God. First of all, it's a revelation of how serious He is about us serving Him. He's really serious about us serving Him. Real serious about it. And I do believe that people who have carried a very casual and flippant attitude about their service for God after they got saved, it's going to be a very frightful time at the judgment seat of Christ. It's probably going to be for all of us. It's probably going to be. Because God is very serious. And He's serious enough to give us a Bible and to give us His Spirit. And as we read it or hear it preached, the Spirit of God convicts and presses on us. And we let the Spirit of God correct, show us where we need to be corrected. And we make the proper corrections. It's a pitiful, I guess, illustration, but it's like going down the road following the GPS. Recalculating. I get tired of hearing that, don't you? I turn the voice off. because I get tired of being told that I'm taking the wrong turn. That's okay with the GPS, but don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Hey, sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in our lives and He says, recalculate. 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 And if I'll make the correction now, it'll pay off at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll pay off then. So it's how serious God is about us. But, you know, on the flip side of that, it not only shows me this how serious God is about it, but it shows me how much God loves us. He doesn't want us to be embarrassed. He doesn't want us to stand at the judgment seat of Christ someday all red-faced and embarrassed because we got ashes flying all around us. We have nothing to show. And so He's trying to say, child of God, I love you so. In fact, if you go on to read the rest of the scripture, verse number 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. God, you know what God does? After God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, recalculate, whatever you want to say, reconsider this. If we ignore Him, you know what God does? He chastises us. If God says, if you won't correct yourself, maybe I'll help you correct yourself. And He gets involved in chastising us. And friend, if we don't respond to that, we're in dangerous territory. Dangerous territory. But it's because He loves us, because God wants the best for us. So here it is. We are saved. Behind us, the judgment of our sin has already taken place in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I'm done with that judgment. I am released from that. I am done with it. I will never, ever have to stand at that kind of judgment. Amen. But ahead of me is the judgment seat. I know that. And when I get there, I can't do anything about it. And so the wise thing to do is right now have a relationship with this book and God's Spirit to the point where when He says, recalculate, I respond. And you know when that will pay off? It'll only pay off now. It'll pay off then. You know, it's a great day for a parent when you've got a young child and you're trying to train that young child in some act of obedience, some character, part of their character, as simple as making their bed. And you train them and you teach them and you do this every morning, and the best thing to do is make it as soon as you get up, because if you put it off, you probably won't do it. And you train and you teach and you poke your head in, and some days it's made and some days it's not made. And you correct and you teach and you train. You say, okay. And you know, it's a great day when that child turns the corner and all of a sudden you realize the bed is made, 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 the bed is made. It's become part of their character. And God says, get this fixed. And the Spirit of God says, get this fixed. There's a judgment coming. Get this fixed. And some days it's fixed and some days it's not fixed. And the Spirit of God says again, get it fixed. Get it fixed. And some days it's fixed and some days it's not fixed. I imagine God is very pleased when He looks down from heaven and sees that one of His children has turned a corner. And it's fixed and fixed and fixed and fixed and fixed and fixed and fixed. I'm very thankful that God gives us this opportunity for self-judgment from His book and through the Holy Spirit to allow the Spirit of God to put His finger on things in our lives that need to be corrected now. And friend, if you haven't thought about it, you should. You really should. Because what's left at the judge, what's left there after the fire, the judgment fire is touched to that wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone, is our gift of appreciation to Jesus Christ. Well, I don't want anybody to be embarrassed on that day. I don't want to be embarrassed on that day. I don't want to be ashamed. And so I think what I need to do is just allow right now the Spirit of God and the Word of God to put their finger on things in my life and see the self-judgment, the correction, the recalculating, and get back on course in any area He talks to me about while I have time to do it before it's too late. That's all I'm going to preach tonight. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. The wisdom of self-judgment. Now is the opportunity and time to fix things. It will not be then. It'll be too late. I wonder if the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart. I wonder if the Word of God has pricked your conscience, stepped on your toes about something. We just put it off, ignore it, excuse it. God's serious about it, and God loves us enough to give us this opportunity to correct it now so that it won't be an embarrassment at the judgment seat of Christ. So there will be something left to give as a show of appreciation to the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you say, you know, Pastor, I hadn't thought about it in that way for some time. But I'm glad for the opportunity of self-judgment. And I think the Lord has been speaking to me about a particular part of my Christian service, my walk with Him. And I'm glad I have the opportunity to get it fixed now. Just pray with me. When you close in prayer tonight, just pray that God helps me to do that. Would you raise your hand if that's you tonight? I see that. God bless you. Amen. 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 Does anybody tonight would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. Anybody like that tonight? I'm not saved. Anybody that says, I need to be baptized. I've been baptized since I've been saved. Anybody like that tonight? Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll take this simple thought tonight and help us to see the importance of allowing Your Spirit to bring us to the place of self-judgment where we respond to Him and get things corrected in our lives. While we can. Change us tonight. Help us to live, Lord, with an ear to Your Spirit. And I'll thank You for it. Thank You for every person that lifted a hand. Minister to their heart tonight. Minister to my heart. All of us, God, help us now to be prepared for that day when we'll stand before Your blessed Son. And thank You so much that we'll not stand there as guilty sinners. Thank You for salvation. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, you play us a song of invitation.